Okay, let's get back into our Sunday school lesson. Turn over to Esther, chapter 4. And we're at a real crucial point in the narrative here. Mordecai had challenged Esther and told her it was now time for her to reveal her true identity and go in before the king unbidden, which was against the custom of the day. And of course, Esther answered, you know, you realize what you're asking me to do, it may cost me my life. And we left off at verse 12. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. All right? The fact that if she went in unbidden, the king did not extend his scepter, that it may mean her death, the loss of her life. And again, this is a point of human government. Wherever tyrants rule supreme, they have laws and traditions that are completely nonsensical. I mean, this just isn't, it's not right for one man to have the power to say, oh, you came in unbidden, off with your head. I mean, that's ridiculous. Nobody should have that much power. And Mordecai then issues a warning and a challenge to Esther in verse 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. He plainly tells her that if you don't do this, the consequences, you will not escape the consequences if you do nothing. She was a Jew. She would not be spared. Mordecai understood fully that he was asking her to risk her life by going unbidden to the king, but he reasoned that she would lose her life anyway if she did nothing. And what it's going to take is complete surrender. I think Mordecai already understood this principle, and he's teaching it now to Esther. Now, I think it's amazing when you look at the faith that Mordecai had. As bleak as everything was, I mean, think about if someone, a prominent world leader, decreed that he was going to, they were going to completely destroy and annihilate a certain race or a group of people. Okay, this is what this was in human history. And Mordecai realized that something had to be done, but his faith was not in men. It was in God. As bad as things were, Mordecai believed, Esther, if you don't do this, you're going to lose your life, but God will raise somebody else up because of his promises to Israel. He says in verse 14, for if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mordecai believed what the Word of God said, what the Pentateuch said, what Genesis said, that God was going to give the seed of Abraham the land of Israel as an everlasting possession, that they were going to be His people. God chose the nation of Israel. And the biggest overall reason why he chose Israel is because out of Israel, the deliverer would come. The Savior of sinners throughout the world, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what is at stake. And Mordecai tells her plainly, you don't do anything, you're going to die and your family, but God will raise up somebody else because the purpose will not be thwarted. Known unto God are all His works from the foundation of the world. There was no way that the messianic line would be destroyed. Mordecai believed that by faith. He believed that God was going to deliver Israel from their present plight because of the covenant promises God made with Abraham. Mordecai saw that the providence of God had placed Esther where she was, and with the eye of faith, he saw the deliverance of the Jews through Esther as the human instrument. He didn't think that any of these things were happening just by accident. He was a man that believed God and believed the Holy Scriptures. H.D. Kennedy said, by faith, he saw the hand of providence, the face of God, and with him the event just passed was as truly an act of faith as what he believed was about to take place. Faith is the medium of connection between human weakness and divine strength. It is not a mere picture in the imagination of something we long for, nor the product of the human heart. It is a substance based on something outside of ourselves. Mordecai believed in the sovereignty and the providence of God, but he also believed in human responsibility. I love a balanced ministry. I love a balanced belief in the Scriptures. And that's what he had. He felt that Esther had been given a golden opportunity to stand for the Lord and count for something, so he challenged her. He believed God would deliver one way or another and warned Esther what would happen if she didn't respond to the crisis. The other Jews would be delivered, but her father's house would be destroyed because of her failure to act. The challenge that was issued by Mordecai in verse 14 is one of the most powerful and passionate pleas recorded in the Bible. Who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Oh, that every one of us would personalize that today, right now. That we would take our stand for Christ, for truth, for the gospel. In a world that is being overrun with tyranny and hatred and atheism and evolutionary thought, we need to take our stand. We may have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Mordecai challenged Esther in much the same way Jesus challenges us as His disciples. Matthew 10, verse 38 and 39, and he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. I've always found it interesting that Jesus, His plea for people to embrace Him and follow Him was always one that was associated with death to self. Death. You've got to take up the cross. You've got to execute your will and submit to mine. And follow me even if it leads you into the same end of life that it led me. When he talked to his disciples in John 13, 14, 15, 16, he made them aware that if the world hates me, it's going to hate you. But you've got to stand. You've got to lose your life for my sake. Matthew Henry said, "He that by sinful shifts will save his life and cannot find in his heart to trust God with it in the way of duty shall lose it in the way of sin." Now verse 15 through 17, and this is Esther's courage displayed. "Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, 'Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish.' So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded him." Her decision was not flippant or without consideration. And you see that by what she requests, that all the Jews pray and fast for 3 days before she would go into the king. What I love about this is she is confessing she's not up to it in and of herself. She humbles herself. Prayer and fasting is all about humility, about seeking the face of God afresh and anew for power and grace and wisdom and strength, spiritual strength. She understood that she needed the prayers of God's people. She then makes one of the most remarkable and courageous statements in all of the Bible. "If I perish, I perish." Now you remember now, this is just a Jewish girl who had lived her life as a normal Jewish girl, yet they went throughout the kingdom and culled out all the most beautiful women and brought them to the harem of King Ahasuerus to seek out someone to replace Vashti, who had been deposed as queen of the kingdom. She's been exalted to that position. Now, if she was a modern day girl, she probably would have said, "Hey, I ain't giving this gig up. You know, I ain't letting go of this. Uh-uh, no way." She said, "If I perish, I perish." She did not regard her own life as being more valuable than the glory of God. Her responsibility to glorify God and intercede for His people enabled her to overcome her fear of death. She had come to an end of herself and realized that the glory of God is what mattered most in her life. This is where we need to be. True faith always responds by acting on the promises of God for His glory and not the praise of men. She obeyed, in essence, the plea that Paul made to the Romans. In chapter 12, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. She's living the essence of those verses out. She had the same kind of fortitude and courage that would later be displayed by the three Hebrew children, or that was exercised in the fiery furnace in Daniel 3, verse 17 and 18, where they said, "If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and He will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Take courage, dear saint of God. We've got some holy examples who have stood in the worst of times, the most difficult of circumstances, literal fiery furnaces, with the threat of the loss of an entire nation hanging over their heads. And they stood. They did not cower. They stood with a holy boldness. Oh, that God would give us the grace to respond to the many opportunities we have to glorify His name. Oh, that we might seek the Lord by prayer and fasting and recognize our responsibilities as His children. We need to serve Him fearlessly. Esther made a bold step, but when nothing is ventured, nothing is gained. The law was against her, but she knew that God was in control of the king's heart. Esther responded to the plea and challenge of Mordecai with faith and courage and dependence upon God. We need to do likewise. When difficulties arise in our life that are beyond our control, we must face the challenges that life presents, believing that God Almighty will undertake and will care for us. Let's learn what it means to lose our life for His sake and His glory. We're dismissed.